Good morning, and welcome to the Wilf Show for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. My name is Tana Hartman, and our guest today is Christina Kauger of NC Stop Torture Now. Welcome, Christina.
Thank you.
Aero Contractors has been in the news for quite some time. It is one of the CIA's private companies that has been linked to extraordinary rendition. They have, I believe, had three employees indicted in Germany. And there have been ongoing demonstrations here in North Carolina. They're located at near the Johnston County Airport, I believe, out near Smithfield. So please tell us a little bit about NC Stop Torture Now, how you got involved with it, and what you all are working on right now.
Sure. North Carolina Stop Torture Now started in 2005, and that was the year that the New York Times published a groundbreaking expose of the rendition program, but specifically of Aero Contractors' key role in it. And as they said, Aero Contractors, based in Smithfield, North Carolina, is the CIA's aviation hub. They are the nominally private company that was created in the 80s by Jim Rhine, a former CIA pilot. And if you'll recall, in 1975 in the Senate, Senator Frank Church held hearings about the CIA's role in Southeast Asia, in which all kinds of wrongdoing was exposed, abuses such as running weapons and running drugs, violating domestic and international law. And so many things that the CIA was doing under its own auspices up until then had to be outsourced, as it were. And so they created several shell companies, shell in the sense that they're nominally private, but they do the bidding of the CIA, so they are effectively arms of the CIA. Mm-hmm. One of those is Evergreen Aviation out in McMinnville, Oregon. I'm actually an Oregonian by birth, so I've been familiar with them for a long time. Mm-hmm. And they played a critical role in the Contra War in the 1980s, helping the United States to create a private army based in Honduras and attack Nicaragua over its borders. Eugene Hasenfuss, the American who was shot down over Nicaragua, was in one of these private planes, but of course actually working for the CIA. Jim Rhine, the CIA pilot who founded Aero Contractors in Johnston County, was legendary, and there's a great News and Observer article about his history of flying daring missions in Southeast Asia and in Africa, supporting Jonas Savimbi in Angola to try to overthrow the government of Angola there. So that's the kind of history that Aero Contractors was founded against. And their mission essentially has been to serve the CIA in whatever way was needed. And that way, after September 11th, 2001, became to ferry CIA detainees to countries overseas where the United States wanted them to be interrogated using techniques that would be illegal in the U.S.
Let's take a step back and tell people what extraordinary rendition is, and there's now even what erroneous rendition now we have. But extraordinary rendition is, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the HB 2417.
Great. Yeah, extraordinary rendition is an extension of a Clinton administration policy of going overseas and snatching people and rendering them to justice, so-called, at least, usually in the U.S. And it was a pretty small-scale operation at that time. But under Bush, since September 11th, the extraordinary rendition program was magnified a thousandfold, and it became their preferred method for dealing with people that they suspected of involvement in terrorism, but were unwilling to subject to U.S. law. And as I said, couldn't be interrogated as harshly as they wanted within the borders of the United States. So the typical pattern was, and may still be for all we know, the plane leaves Johnston County, the sleepy little airport there at Smithfield, flies to the Washington, D.C. area, usually Dulles Airport, to pick up a CIA snatch team, and then across the Atlantic, perhaps stopping over at Shannon Airport or in Scotland to refuel, because these are generally smaller planes. Oftentimes, at least, they need to refuel on the way. And then to some European, North African, or Near Eastern country where they take custody of the detainee who was detained by local police forces in cooperation with the United States, and then that person is handed over to the CIA team. They are beaten up, they're stripped violently, they're threatened, they're drugged, usually with an anal suppository. And there's a clear pattern that this chain of events that I'm describing occurs in all these cases. This is usually a team dressed in black. They look like ninjas, people have often said. They're chained to the floor of the plane, and then they're flown to a country that is working with the United States to interrogate and detain these people outside the rule of law. In many cases, these are people who are merely suspected of involvement in something, or someone has rumored that they are. They have a last name that's similar to a suspect last name. In hundreds of documented cases, people in Pakistan were simply sold by someone who didn't like them or needed some money for $25 or $50 into CIA custody and ended up in Guantanamo. So some of these North Carolina planes have been involved in transporting people to Guantanamo, where they sit still awaiting and not getting justice.
It's amazing to me, especially given there has been a tremendous amount of attention paid to it in Europe, mm-hmm. and the Council of Europe has concluded that there were more than 100 people that were kidnapped by the CIA in Europe, and those are considered what ghost detainees is what mm-hmm. they call them, mm-hmm. I think, Let's stop a little bit. There has also been a good bit of discussion about torture. What is really amazing is that how so many people within the U.S. society can justify torture. You know, if the other guys are nasty, we need to get nastier. But there seems to be plenty of evidence that, in fact, it doesn't work. You all have paid some attention to that too, so you're looking at the arguments against using torture.
Sure.
And now with HB 2417, that I guess that started last December when Paul Lubke asked for a study, and then I guess he wasn't the only one, was he?
Mm-hmm.
But they have now, this statute would create a statutory definition of torture in North Carolina, which has been, as if I understand correctly, a crime under common law. But this mm-hmm. actually gives it a statutory standing, I guess, mm-hmm. and makes related offenses, such as those, you know, Arrow's involvement, mm-hmm. crimes also. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
That's right. Actually, this bill was introduced in the last session, the long session, and then you're right, it didn't get to the full House for a vote last year, so it was referred for study to the North Carolina Sentencing and Policy Advisory Commission, and they vetted it and made a few changes which strengthened it and actually really highlighted the aspect of it which makes it a more serious crime if the conspiracy to kidnap and torture and disappear someone is committed under government auspices, which these are exactly what's happening here in North Carolina. And I must emphasize, we're dealing here with conspiracy. The detainees are never brought here to North Carolina, but uh-huh. the planes and crews are housed here, and the plans are made to fly the missions that take people to right. be tortured.
And so under this, any participation in that act of conspiracy at any
right.
step along the way becomes a crime.
Yes, that's right. And that's consistent with federal law. Federal law says that conspiracy to torture is just as much a crime as torturing. And the torture doesn't have to be committed on U.S. soil. But the conspiracy is hatched here, and North Carolinians are participating in that conspiracy, and our public airports are being used in furtherance of that conspiracy, and that's what is outlawed by this law. And it responds specifically to Attorney General Cooper and SBI Director Pendergraft telling our state lawmakers that they lack the powers and the authority to investigate aero contractors in Smithfield and at their former hangar in Kinston at the Global Transpark, where they maintained their Boeing airplane for many years and rendered lots of people with that plane. So we're, with this law, saying, okay, here are the powers that you need in order to investigate these crimes, and now please investigate them. There's way more documentation than you would ever require for any other crime.
And the, what is the real... the real importance of this bill? It's not in the bill itself so much, but as I have, what I've been reading is that it's telling the world, the rest of the country, that we in North Carolina don't tolerate, we do not stand for torture.
That's right. Yes, it's sponsored by 27 members of the House of Representatives. It makes a strong statement that North Carolinians are against torture. The Sentencing Commission, when they looked at the bill, put that statement into their report, that North Carolinians repudiate the use of torture and that it endangers our armed forces and our men and women in uniform abroad by subjecting them to blowback or revenge. And I must say also that we're hoping that our federal congressional delegation will follow suit and speak out against torture, because we unfortunately haven't heard their voices very strongly yet about the North Carolina connection. Representative Price has done several things against the U.S. torture policy, but what he has not yet done that we would very much like him to do is speak out about aero contractors and the need to investigate them and shut them down.
Just want to tell people a moment, if you want to find out whether your representative, I mean, and clearly Verla Insko and is very likely to be among them. I haven't looked. I'm quite
she
sure
is.
She
Verla
is.
Verla Insko is a co-sponsor of House Bill 2417.
But anyway, you can go to NCLEGE, what is it?
.net. NCLEG.net.
Right, and you can look them up. And again, I'm pretty sure Hackney and Insko, was Hackney?
Hackney is not. He has refused. Yeah, so if you're a constituent of Joe Hackney's, you definitely should contact him and tell him that you'd like him to support this bill.
Absolutely. Okay, Joe Hackney's not.
Right.
Not too long ago, quite a number of members of the House of Representatives, including Price, they have called for a special prosecutor. They have called for Michael Mukasey, the Attorney General, to appoint a special prosecutor to investigate the Bush administration's authorization of torture. Do you know anything about that?
It's part of certainly a groundswell of discontent in the U.S. House of Representatives about the torture policy. And in addition to signing that letter, which I think that was in early June, there were 56 members of the U.S. House of Representatives, including David Price, who sent that letter to Michael Mukasey and basically called for a special counsel. It's very important that Congress get on the record now, even during the waning days of the Bush administration, in opposing the policy and in repudiating their legal justifications for it. As you know, they had lawyers like John Yoo and David Addington writing lots of memos authorizing and justifying the harsh interrogation techniques and enhanced interrogation, as they call it, and talking about how it was legal to take people to Guantanamo and hold them for years without trying them. And Congress needs to say now that this is, that they reject these authorizations, because otherwise it becomes part of the thinking of the Supreme Court and federal courts in general that Congress never objected, if in fact they didn't. And so this is taken into account when judges later decide whether people broke the law under this administration. Now, this letter that David Price signed about the torture policy and who in the Bush administration authorized it is very important. Never does it mention actually the role of private contractors or the role of states and counties and municipalities in providing infrastructure for the torture program. Jeppesen Data Plan, which is an arm of the Boeing Corporation, has done all the trip planning for these kidnapping missions called rendition flights. And so far they've gotten away with it scot-free because they're protected by this.
Boeing,
they're
right?
a subsidiary of mm-hmm. Boeing, and they have offices in many states. In fact, I think they have an office in Greenville. And the State Secret Act is invoked by the Bush administration anytime someone brings a lawsuit against Jeppesen or another private contractor. So what we need David Price and Brad Miller and other federal Congress people to do is to speak out and to dig into the role of private contractors in carrying out the dirty business of the CIA undercover, if you will. The CIA set up this whole private infrastructure deliberately in order to obscure and screen what they were doing. These foreign governments did not ask to inspect any of these flights or challenge what mission they were on because they were private companies, and that was a deliberate strategy. So it's great that Representative Price has authored a bill to forbid private contractors from receiving money to participate in interrogation and torture, but we also need an investigation looking back into what crimes have been committed, and we need David Price and Brad Miller to speak out about this, to lend their authority and their gravitas to a situation that right now they haven't said anything publicly about.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Please contact Representative David Price. Legality. Under U.S. law, evidence that's obtained illegally or under duress is inadmissible, right, in U.S. courts.
Mm-hmm.
And attention's been called to the fact that this could hamper any kind of trial or proceedings against suspected terrorists. But the trial of Mousawi, Zacharias Mousawi, who so far is the only person to be indicted.
For the September 11th attacks. Yeah.
Right. It has been complicated by his request for access to confidential documents and his assertion of a right to call Al-Qaeda members who are held at Guantanamo as witnesses. Now, the demand's been rejected by government attorneys on the grounds, again, that it would compromise their confidential sources. But there's another issue here, too, that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, that the all of these have been also obscured because the focus has been, when our using torture, it has deflected attention away from the actual, the factual elements of these cases.
Right.
Because we have gained a reputation around the globe as a country that will torture,
right.
That will condone torture. Now, that is that's something that I think I have read in some of the press releases and such as one of the issues that you all are saying. Mm-hmm. This is another reason why torture cannot be condoned.
Right. Oh, yes. I think that's a very important point, that two things. One, the United States has no standing anymore to criticize human rights violations in other countries, if it ever did have such standing, because of its own abhorrent human rights behavior. And even if most Americans are unaware of the specifics of the torture program, and it really has been a program that they've developed in all its detail, people in other countries are well aware of these facts and are appalled and will certainly not take the views of the United States seriously about human rights practices in their countries. And you know, moreover, when you torture and render somebody like Khalid al-Mokhtari, who was a Yemeni citizen living in Iraq in 2004 and was grabbed up in a market sweep and then imprisoned in Abu Ghraib and hung by a chain from the ceiling in stress positions during his torture and beaten and abused by American personnel, not by Iraqis. And then you fly him in an aero contractor's plane from Smithfield to Afghanistan, where he's thrown into prison, further abused and tortured. Then you fly him in another plane to a CIA black site and torture him there. And finally, you release him without charges a year and a half later. Back in Yemen, now a broken man and unable to earn a living, completely scarred in every way. What do the Yemeni people who know him and who learn about his case think about the United States? And what does that inspire in them to want to do? I mean, I think that this program has done nothing but create thousands and thousands of enemies.
Yeah.
And really, it's a blight upon our, not only our image, but our psyches, to be a nation that, that is allowing itself to sponsor this kind of abuse.
I'm certainly inclined to agree. There have been a number of investigations, international investigations now, a number of countries looking into their participation in this and their complicity with the CIA.
Right. Oh, yes. In most European countries, there are NGOs, non-governmental organizations, and also in often members of parliament who are holding inquiries and who are amassing data. In fact, we get inquiries from people researching in the European Union and in the UK saying, what do you know about these flights that apparently have passed through our country? What details can you provide us from your plane spotting experience? Because that's one of the things we've done. We've actually observed planes going in and out of North Carolina that have these tail numbers, or essentially license plate numbers, that are linked to rendition. So there's a huge outcry in Europe about this.
Oh, that's amazing. Plane spotting. I didn't realize you all did
plane that. Spotting. Yeah, you may remember a movie called Train Spotting some years ago. Well, plane spotting is an amateur hobby for thousands of people around the world who post photos of their favorite catches on the internet. And it has been employed to good effect in demonstrating and validating what New York Times and other reporters, European reporters, were unearthing by way of evidence that privately held planes, ostensibly privately held planes, were being used to transport detainees, because the routes that were observed by plane spotters matched up perfectly with details learned from former detainees, like Khaled El-Masri, the German citizen, in whose case the three Clayton pilots were indicted in Germany.
The European Parliament issued a report last year. It's been more than a year now. Concluded that many European countries had tolerated illegal actions of the CIA, including secret flights. And they named Austria, Belgium, Cyprus, Denmark, Germany, Greece, Ireland, Italy, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Spain, Sweden, and UK.
France, but, you should include
and
France.
And France, okay. But ultimately the report denounced the lack of cooperation of many states with the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
They called for the closure of U.S. military detention missions in Guantanamo and for European countries to seek the return of citizens and residents. Do you know anything about what's happened in since then?
Yes, that has been an extremely important process. So one of the things that they're doing is they are investigating what their own governments knew, and of course that gets very touchy very fast, because, for example, in Denmark, the government steadfastly insisted to its own people that it had played no role in rendition whatsoever. And last December, the Danish public television network released a one-hour documentary made in part by their team coming here to North Carolina and taking footage out at Smithfield, which painstakingly put together the evidence that, in fact, the Danish government had allowed hundreds of stopovers in Greenland, which is part of Denmark, as you know, because it's a convenient route on the way from North Carolina to Europe to grab somebody and kidnap them. And within a week of airing that documentary in December, the Danish government did an about-face and said, we will investigate whether, in fact, we've allowed CIA rendition flights to use our territory to refuel. So that sort of investigative reporting and citizen effort to document actual European complicity with the CIA has made a big difference over there and will continue to make a difference.
Good. And that brings me to, I wanted to talk about, the FBI's Assistant Director for Congressional Affairs, Robert Powers, and he wrote Watt, and this relates back to 2417, our Congressman Watt, and according to the FBI, the agency was waiting on guidance from the Department of Justice since October 2006, when the North Carolina State Bureau of Investigation Director Robert Prendergast referred to them. And and now this has led up to, what is the Department of Justice doing?
Nothing. Essentially, nothing. That's exactly right. As Representative Watt was able to learn, the FBI got the referral from the Attorney General here in North Carolina in fall of 2006. The FBI asked their superiors at the Department of Justice for guidance, presumably should we go ahead and investigate what Aero Contractors is doing in Smithfield, and has received no guidance, apparently, which is essentially, of course, because the Justice Department does not want revealed the role of Aero Contractors in facilitating a program that they illegally authorized. So it's not a wonder. It's a great tribute to Representative Mel Watt that he was willing to raise the issue of Aero Contractors in an FBI oversight hearing on April 23rd and spell it out for Director Mueller, who'd never heard of Aero, according to him, and say, A-E-R-O, Aero Contractors, would you please report back to me on whether the FBI has investigated? So that's what you read is the response from the FBI, which is, well, we haven't gotten the green light from justice, so nope, we haven't.
Right. Not only does torture, I mean, is it abhorrent, or for my money, it should be abhorrent to any human being, but it contravenes treaty obligations to the United States and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights from 1948, which in the wake of World War II, Article 5 says, no one shall be subjected to torture or cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment. This, once again, raises a whole lot of moral as well as judicial and political issues. What is it that we can and should be doing as people who care about this, as people who do not want our government torturing in our name? What
right.
can we do?
Well, I think we need to keep doing more of what we have been doing. We're raising the issue in Johnston County, trying to alert local people to say, no, we don't want this in our county. Try to get the state government to take action, continue to educate lawmakers, especially if you have friends or relatives in rural districts in this state. Lots of the more conservative members, even of the Democratic Party in our assembly, are not yet on board with this. So there's a lot of citizen education that needs to occur. And please get in touch with your federal congressperson and encourage him to do more and more public things to expose North Carolina's particular role in hosting rendition and rendition infrastructure.
Yeah. What is your website?
We would love for people to get in touch with us. Our website is www.ncstoptorturenow. That's all one word, ncstoptorturenow.org. And or if you just Google North Carolina Stop Torture Now, just Google us, you'll get to our website, and our email address is right there.
Thank you, Christina Kauger.
And
thank you
very
for joining us. This is Tana Hartman, and we're coming to you from WCOMLP Chapel Hill in Carrboro, 103.5, your low-power community radio station. Join us again next week for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. Thank you.